Adam on LBC.
On the opening of the economy again, the opening of pubs, the closing of pubs, I should say, when it comes to the battle against coronavirus, we're going to see England, it seems, split into three lockdown tiers, maybe as early as next week. The closure of pubs in parts of the north of England may be part of this. This is the repentant ghost of Karl Marx who is tweeting. My goodness, Nottingham has had low cases all the way through this pandemic until 2 weeks ago when the students returned to universities. In those 2 weeks, the case numbers have jumped six times, says, as I say, the repentant ghost of Karl Marx. Thank you for that input. 03456060973. I know Nick Ferrari later on Breakfast will be asking if it's time to close universities to save our economy. Much to discuss this morning. Much breaking in the USA as well. And Simon Marks, our LBC's Washington correspondent, is joining me this morning. I don't know where we where we start, Simon. I think we have to start with the debates. And this is Donald Trump's doctor now saying that he's ready to resume campaigning, and a statement which has changed the Trump position on the debates for The third time in a day, is that right?
Correct. Okay. The third time since this morning. I mean, I think the commonality, Darren, of everything we're going to talk about here is the just astoundingly erratic behaviour that has been on display over the last few days by President Donald Trump. And while the president's physician, in a statement tonight, insists that the president essentially is over COVID-19, Saturday, the physician notes, will be day 10 since Thursday's diagnosis. And I fully anticipate the president's safe return to public engagements at that time. Well, that may be the case, but it is undoubtedly true that the behavior that we've witnessed on a variety of fronts over the last few days has absolutely been unusually erratic, even for President Trump. And so at 7:20 this morning, the Presidential Commission on Debates sent an email out telling everybody that the next debate due to take place in Miami next week would move to a virtual format. Voters would still be allowed to put questions to President Trump and Joe Biden, and they would do so from the debate site, a performing arts center in Miami. But the president and Joe Biden would be joining the debate virtually. We presumed the president from the White House, Joe Biden from Delaware.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, 40 minutes later, called his friends up at the Fox Business Network, gave a rambling, unhinged, nearly hour-long interview in which he completely torpedoed the idea of participating in any debate virtually. And within minutes of him doing that, the campaign announced that instead of attending this debate, they would now be holding a Trump rally and President Trump would be there for it. As the day wore on, and I think Republicans and people around President Trump in the White House realized that this was potentially a massive own goal being scored by a man who, in most opinion polls, is between 12 and 16 points behind his rival in the election, and you would think would really want to connect with voters in a bid to turn that around, there have been a whole variety of shifting positions that have taken place in the third version of the White House telling of all of this. Donald Trump now saying, well, actually, I tell you what, let's just do the debate and let's do it in person in Miami as planned next Thursday. Well, there's two problems with that. First of all, Joe Biden has already got another gig that night. He's managed to secure himself a town hall meeting of his own on ABC.
So he's busy.
Okay. And secondly, the head of the Commission on Presidential Debates has said tonight, I'm sorry, what we said this morning at 7:30 in the morning about this debate moving virtual is still the case.
Yes.
So if you want to participate, you will participate in it virtually.
Okay.
So I think we can safely assume that debate's gone away.
Unless there's going to be a fourth statement, a fourth position.
Yes. Well, unless the Commission on Presidential Debates would... the extraordinary thing about this, Darren, is the debates are organised by this commission.
Yes.
Which is made up of veteran Democrats and Republicans. They would not normally ever put a statement out unless it had been agreed to by both campaigns.
Yeah.
So whether there was miscommunication between the campaign and President Trump is very unclear. But, based on my experience here, it would be inconceivable that the Commission would have put that initial statement out without thinking that they had the backing of both campaigns for a virtual debate.
Right. Let me just give you a little peek behind the radio curtain here, because we actually had a conversation with Niall Stanage, who's the White House columnist at The Hill, ready to go. Now, we recorded it just before we came on air. It has been overtaken by events. We've chucked it in the bin. We got you on live to try and talk about what's actually happening now rather than what happened 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, that's what it's been like today.
So quickly is it moving? And one of the questions that I put to Niall, but you can weigh in on this, Simon. If the Commission for Presidential Debates, if they said, right, here is a date on which you are invited Donald Trump and which you are invited Joe Biden, and if one of those candidates were to say, no, not coming, would the empty chair the person that doesn't turn up?
No, there's no conceivable way they would ever empty chair, because the system here doesn't allow for it. Everything that the Commission on Presidential Debates does, because it's made up of these kind of rather crusty old veterans of the Democratic and Republican Party, is done by consensus, including, by the way, even the selection of the moderators for the debate. I mean, people were asking me on Twitter last night, based on the performance of the moderator in the vice presidential debate, where's the Andrew Neil figure? You know, well, I mean, the problem is that even if there was an Andrew Neil figure, the two campaigns would have to agree on that figure's presence moderating the debate. So that's why the system really at this point is kind of not fit for purpose. But the empty chairing is inconceivable. And the other critical element to the answer to your question is not whether simply there would be a debate. It's not about whether is there going to be a debate? It's what's the format for the debate? Yeah. Because the Biden campaign is saying, well, hang on a second. The next debate was supposed to be a town hall meeting. It wasn't supposed to be a slugfest between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So they're now suggesting that if there is going to be another debate, then it has to be a town hall format, not the slugfest that was anticipated for the third debate. And they know that Donald Trump doesn't feel particularly comfortable in the town hall format. He'd much rather pugilistically go up against Joe Biden like he did on Tuesday a week ago. So, my guess is next week, definitely no debate, right. I think. And whether we'll see another one in this cycle, I don't know why.
Well, Joe, I was going Biden to ask you to reset on that. If there is currently in any of our futures, Simon, as we speak at 2:41 British summertime on Friday the 9th of October, and whatever time it is with you in Washington, if we can say at this point in our futures, in this electoral cycle, is there a date on which both candidates have agreed to turn up and debate each other?
Well, at the moment, you'd have to say that's October the 22nd for the third and last debate. But the Biden team are saying the format for that debate now needs to be the town hall.
Okay. Now, there's a lot else to discuss as well, because just a few hours ago, and this was breaking news until it wasn't. Until it was superseded. The FBI busting a militia plot, so-called, to abduct the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. This, of course, in the context of Donald Trump at the last debate, saying to a bunch of fascist extremists, stand back and stand by. This was a kidnapping plot involving six men who planned to hold a treason trial for her. This is straight out of an episode of 24, isn't it?
Yeah. And this is a hugely important development. Gretchen Whitmer is one of 50 elected governors. She runs the state of Michigan. She is a prominent Democrat, one of the figures that Joe Biden considered as a possible running mate before deciding to go with Senator Kamala Harris. These two far-right militia, according to the FBI, and they made six arrests overnight, were planning to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer with an army of 200 men, remove her to a remote location in a wooded area of the state, mount a show trial in which she would be put on trial for treason, the treason alleged being the fact that she introduced COVID-19 lockdown restrictions in the state earlier this year. And it's not entirely clear from the indictment what the planned penalty for that treason was, but certainly they spoke in recorded telephone conversations about the possibility of killing political political opponents. So this is really serious stuff, coming a matter of weeks after President Trump on Twitter urged people to liberate Michigan from the lockdowns that Gretchen Whitmer was implementing there. The six people arrested today, if they're convicted of the kidnapping and terrorist charges that they face, could go to jail for life. Just before we came on air, Donald Trump, for the first time tonight, has weighed in on this issue. And, of course, Gretchen Whitmer argues he is to blame for this, not only for instructing people to liberate Michigan, but in that first presidential debate for telling white vigilantes to stand down and stand by to intervene on the streets of America. Here's Donald Trump's response. Governor Whitmer of Michigan, the woman they were planning to kidnap and possibly kill, has done a terrible job. She locked her state down for everyone except her husband's boating activities. The federal government provided tremendous help to the great people of Michigan. My Justice Department, not the American Justice Department, my Justice Department and federal law enforcement announced today that they foiled a dangerous plot against the governor of Michigan. Rather than say thank you, she calls me a white supremacist. He goes on to argue that he doesn't tolerate any extreme violence. Defending all Americans, even those who oppose and attack me, is what I will always do as your president. And he ends almost with a call to arms. Yeah. Governor Whitmer, open up your state, open up your schools, and open up your churches.
So he ends there with a list of things that those people who wanted to kidnap and kill her wanted.
Exactly, precisely, exactly that. And also, again, I mean, talking about erratic behaviour, I mean, this argument that it's his Justice Department and his federal law enforcement, on the very day where, in that Fox News interview earlier this morning, he instructed his Attorney General William Barr to pursue criminal prosecutions against Joe Biden and Barack Obama for this entirely unsubstantiated claim that they were planning a coup against his government. I mean, this is another example of his complete failure to understand that the Justice Department is not politically motivated in this country. It is independent of politics. And to see him attacking Gretchen Whitmer, a woman who certainly had this plot, this alleged plot, been carried out, could at the very least have been kidnapped and certainly could have found herself in some pretty dire straits, is once again just simply jaw-dropping.
We're barely even finished, Simon, because we're not finished at all, because we have some other stories to look at here. Deadline, which is an online news outlet, has accidentally, they claim, posted and deleted a story saying that Mike Pence, the vice president, has tested positive for COVID. Their defense appears to be, well, it was a draft of a story that we might have to run if this were true, which it isn't. But very curious for any news agency to publish.
Curious. I mean, it does read like a draft, because it even says that, you know, he tested positive and this was announced on Wednesday night. So it does kind of read like a draft. I mean, one of the reasons why that's gained a bit of traction here today is that Mike Pence and the second lady of the United States, Karen, were due to be in Indiana tomorrow. And they were due to cast their vote in the presidential election tomorrow. They were supposed to be participating in early voting. And suddenly this evening, that trip was postponed without any reason being provided. So the immediate suspicion was perhaps someone somewhere had tested positive for COVID-19. Right. The Trump White House insists no one has tested positive. It's nothing to do with sickness. It's an operational delay. They will be traveling again over the weekend. I mean, there's been nothing to substantiate story that deadline article suggests. There's been nothing to substantiate the idea that Mike Pence has tested positive for COVID-19. However, at the debate last night, he was exhibiting a bloodshot left eye. If you look at the various symptoms for COVID-19, conjunctivitis and a bloodshot eye can be a symptom for COVID-19. But there's no reason currently to believe that there's anything to that.
And so we don't therefore draw a line between that and the Speaker of the the House, Nancy Pelosi, putting her weight behind a bill that would give Congress a role in determining whether the US president needs to be forced out of office. So she is going to be, I think, talking at some point about the 25th Amendment. The reason that matters is that under the presidential line of succession, if Mike Pence were to be incapacitated and Donald Trump were to be incapacitated, she would then become the president. She would be America's first female president.
Yes, she's got a bit of an interest in all of this. I must tell you that her argument that it might be time to consider the 25th Amendment, which of course is that bit of the Constitution that would allow the vice president, the cabinet and Congress to deem the president of the United States so nuts that he should be removed from power, has been slightly fueled by what President Trump has said on television within the last 30 seconds. He began his day giving a long interview to Fox Business. Mm. He's ending his day giving an interminable interview to Sean Hannity on the Fox News channel. The president has just said again that he is not interested in doing a virtual debate with Joe Biden. Let's go, Joe, said Trump, challenging Biden to another face-to-face debate and suggesting that Sean Hannity of Fox News would be a fair moderator for that debate. According to Mark Nola of CBS News on Twitter, even Hannity acknowledged that would never happen. So, I mean, when the suggestions are even too out there for Sean Hannity, you wonder where all this is going. Right. I mean, I think this threat by Nancy Pelosi to create what we think is going to be some kind of panel investigating whether the president does have the capacity to continue in office. She got to be quite careful with that. It would be very easy to play into Donald Trump's hands. He is already beginning to accuse her of planning a coup of her own against him. And I think if you looked at that performance at the debate last night by Senator Kamala Harris, some Democrats were disappointed. They wanted her to draw blood. They wanted more action from her. They wanted her to hold Mike Pence accountable for having enabled Donald Trump's presidency. And she notably didn't do that. And I think there is a sense in which the Biden team is saying to everyone here, let's be restrained. We're 16 points clear in the polls. This is beginning to start looking like landslide territory. Let's try not to do anything over the remaining period of this election campaign to muck all this up. And I think that there will be some concerns within the Biden campaign that this idea of talking about the 25th Amendment might play into Donald Trump's hands more than they would like to see going on right now.
Well, doubtless everything will have changed again in 10 minutes and we'll get you back on.
exactly.
And we've not even talked about the flood. No time to talk about the fly. This was the
fly.
Unusually perceptive fly that chose Mike Pence as a place to land during the debate last night. And the Biden campaign had fly swatters made and 35,000 of them sold out within a few hours. Simon, thank you very much indeed. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.